From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The Anne Frank Memorial in Boise is the only memorial of its kind in the United States. And it's also only one of the few places in the world where the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is on permanent and public display in its entirety. And as construction is underway for the new Wasmuth Education Center, it will also be one of a kind, as it will have a permanent collection of more than 21 art pieces that present core themes and concepts in the center's work for human rights. Joining us today to talk more about this is Dan Prinzing, project manager for the capital campaign and construction of the new Wasmuth Center. You may also know Dan as the former executive director of the center as well. Dan, really nice to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Gemma.
So you officially retired, but then you just decided to become a volunteer.
I committed to the board that since we were so knee deep in this project, that I would take it to conclusion. You know, Christina Bruce Binion, the new director, is doing such a phenomenal job with programming. I said, let me keep this off your plate. Don't worry about the fundraising for the capital campaign or the weekly construction meetings. I'll take care of that. But really, it's now become such a shared passion for both of us.
Yeah. So Dan, for folks who may not be too familiar with the center, can you tell us briefly about the Wasmuth Center for Human Rights?
So the center was born right after the exhibit Anne Frank and the World came to Boise in 1995. It was that exhibit that planted the seeds for a more permanent tribute. So the center was founded in 96 for the purpose of constructing a memorial to human rights in Idaho's capital city. Once the memorial was dedicated to the public, then the center really began to focus on the education programming that would occur within the memorial, schools, classrooms, companies throughout the state of Idaho, and then because of the online presence now happening nationally and international. What we've seen over the last, 25 years in operation, that the growth and the demand for the programming is probably at a peak at this moment. And so now to really develop a facility in which that work can occur. And that's why I think this construction of the new Wasmuth Education Center is so important at this time.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, this has been a long project. As you said, capital campaign, this has taken quite a labor of love. But the construction is actually visible now, which, I mean, I go by it quite often, and I think it's pretty exciting, to see it really coming into physical manifestation. So tell us a bit about the project itself, because it's set to open, in June?
Yes. So we first started talking about this at the board level in 2018, 2019, working with Ersted Architecture on the design of how could a building nestle into the footprint of the memorial, not competing with this space, but adding to the story within this one-of-a-kind human rights memorial. How could we add a one-of-a-kind human rights education center? And of course, then we started the capital campaign, and then what occurred? An international pandemic. And so what initially was going to be a $3.2 million project, cost escalation, supply chain issues, it is now a $6.2 million project. Ooh. But the depth of support in our community, literally, this is a project funded by individuals, businesses, and foundations that are so committed to the work of the center, the presence of the memorial, and really what this represents. You know, I like to think, Gemma, when visitors come to Boise, and they will see what will become a very iconic building in the heart of downtown, coupled with the memorial. What is that really saying about our town? What is the message that we're projecting? And there are so many features that have been incorporated with it. We're excited. And certainly in conversations with the mayor, the city is excited.
So, Dan, part of the center's mission is really to promote respect for human dignity, but as well as diversity. And you do that through education.
Yes.
So how does art play a role in education?
There's such a symbiotic relationship between art and human rights. Art as a mode of expression. human rights is the promotion, protection of human dignity. So what are you expressing for human dignity through the art? What we also know with art is you and I can step up to the piece and we may see different things in it, that mm-hmm. art becomes a very individual journey. I think what became so important for us in this project, it's the collection of the pieces. Even though each stands independent, when you see them all together, they have formed quite a story or journey in human rights. So that's what we're very excited for when visitors come into the building, how they will begin to a thought process, reflection, perhaps conversation, perhaps while they're in the building asking questions. What are we learning about ourselves and learning about human rights in the process?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I think is so great about this, Dan, is that I think the memorial itself is such a beautiful piece of art, right? When you yeah. walk through that outdoor memorial, the water features, right? I mean, the yeah. amazing statue of Anne Frank. I mean, that's art in and of itself. So in a way, yes. it would make sense to make, you know, to put art within this new building to have it be an extension. So was that kind yes. of, you know, thought about as well in this process?
It has evolved to that thought. In honesty, when we first designed, you know, the building itself is going to be an artistic marvel. What Ørsted designed for it, literally, the building will be a beacon of light. Something that will shine in times of darkness. So that's the way the light enters the space or emanates from. That really prompted our thinking, okay, if the building itself is a piece of art, how do we continue to add to that? And literally it was the interior architect. It's a two-story lobby. And one day she looked at me, she said, Dan, you really need something dramatic hanging from that ceiling in this two-story space. So we reached out to a local glass artist, Philip Vanderpool with Boise Art Glass, started this great conversation. What might this be? We wanted a piece on the exterior. What might it be? And the process that we engaged in, and I think we, as you noted, we've got over 21 original commissioned pieces for the building. With each, I did not want to dictate to the artist what the piece should be. We wanted them to create. So I would give each artist a word, a concept. One piece I handed the artist, here's a copy of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Tell me what the art piece should be. And it's been such a fascinating process as each artist creating to their design. What would this be? What is the story that is told? You know, we did an important piece early in the process. We'd commissioned with many of the artists. They were working on their individual pieces. Then we found an opportunity to bring them all together. Ørsted Architecture had created a virtual tour of the memorial. So literally, we're in the architect's office taking this virtual tour, and we would stop and pause at a point, and I'd say, Benjamin, your piece goes there. Tell us about that.
Oh, wow.
Press the button, go a little further. Raham, your piece is there. Tell us about it. Well, what the artists discovered is, yes, they were working on their individual piece, but then all of a sudden, they heard the story that was developing. And then they began to realize, we're a part of something much greater than our own piece. And that just became such an, not only an important, but such an inspiring piece in the process.
Mm-hmm. And as we both mentioned, more than 21 pieces of art that will be permanently on display. One in particular piece, if you can talk a little bit about this, it's going to be a tribute to the late U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Early in the campaign, we had a group within the community, and this was right about the time when the Associate Justice passed. And they said, could we do something to honor her legacy within the building? Well, what we actually created is a first floor tribute wall to the late Associate Justice. I reached out to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's daughter. And I said, is there a favorite quote that you would hear your mother often repeat? Something that really is a part of her legacy. Daughter wrote back and said, yes, she was very fond of saying, lead in such a way that others will follow you. You're going to see that on that tribute wall in a very large font. Helps to set the stage for the work that's occurring within the building. So we reached out to a local artist, and I said, I would like an art piece featured on that tribute wall. Basically, I gave the artist, Benjamin Victor, a word. I said it's a tribute to justice, but not necessarily the traditional scales of justice or Lady Justice that we often will see in front of a courthouse. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar, Benjamin is the youngest and living artist to have four sculptures in Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol building.
Oh, wow.
Living in Boise. He's just a phenomenal. I have so much fun just in his presence, listening to his creative thought, how he puts the pieces together. His studio is just so inspiring. So we're in a conversation talking, okay, here's the concept. This is where this piece will go. Well, the final product that he created is called Transcendent Justice. And his concept, it is within each of us that we become justice. And he talks, to hear Benjamin talk, he'll talk about Chief Standing Bear or Rosa Parks or Corey Timboom. Actually, those who broke the law to achieve justice. And so in the concept, Transcendent Justice, she is floating. She is rising above. And what you'll see in the final piece, instead of holding the scales of justice by hand with the chains and the bowls at the bottom, the bowls are up in her hands. She has become justice. But the piece that I love with Benjamin's attention to detail, he said, Dan, look real close at those bowls. The holes are still there where the chains would go, but she's now broken free of the chains. And this piece that literally you'll step in the center. The first thing is part of that lobby area. You'll see this tribute wall, and to see this piece, it's 4 feet high. It'll be in its own niche in the wall with its own special lighting to it. Bronze piece, but the way the patina is, it almost looks like it's marbled. It's a tan and just a phenomenal, exquisite detail with that inspirational piece that we can each become justice within the community.
And Dan, I can hear just the excitement in your voice about these these art pieces. And what's great about this, tell us about really getting the community involved and the public involved, because you're having what you guys are calling a coffee talk coming up on October 22nd.
As we noted, because this campaign has gone on for so long, and in honesty, the level of support in the community, first of all, we are at 97% of people. In other words, we're in our final glide path in fundraising. So, you know, the Wasmuth Center has never had debt. The center was founded free and clear. The memorial was built after the funds were raised. And so this has just been such a long process in the fundraising that we went into a series of coffee talks this summer in the memorial. We've already conducted five, just inviting the community to come in. Previous donors, new friends of the center, come to hear about all these features, not only the art, but how technology be used in the building to enhance teaching and learning. So we have one more scheduled. They have been so popular, and traditionally these had always been on Friday mornings, especially for those heading to the office. But this one is going to be on Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. right in the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial. We'll have coffee, we'll have treats, we'll have some activities for children because this is family friendly. Really just inviting the community, come and hear more about what this center is going to be and what it will represent within the community.
Well, Dan, as always, it's such a pleasure to have you on the program. And I am so love the Wasmuth Center so much. It is such a necessary organization to have, and to have it right here in our own backyard is such a gift. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.